Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop reveals the biblical foundation of evil patterns and the need for believers to have a greater understanding. Be equipped and empowered with the strategic prayers and intercession needed to overcome every evil plan in your life. Know today that this is God's word of deliverance for you. Be empowered as you listen.
Many years ago, I preached a message that I believe you can find it online, and it went across the nations of the world when I lived in the United States at that time. I was talking about patterns of the bloodline, and repetition is very important, and I believe every now and then we'll have to go back to some of these teachings and revelation to help people make sense of the things that confront us on a daily basis as individuals, as families, and as nations. And if we ignore some of these things, it can disadvantage us in this journey of life. So today, I want to bring back certain awareness or patterns. Patterns in the life of individuals, patterns in the lives of family, and patterns in the lives of nations. We can't ignore some of these patterns. There are reasons for some of these patterns. Some of these patterns are implications. Some of these patterns are outcomes of certain curses and evil covenants and altars of backgrounds of families and histories of nations. Every action leads to reactions, and everything that happens in all of our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly have reasons. They don't just happen. And so I think that it is important to mention some of these things. I was talking to a church I preached for this morning, dealing with the supernatural, before I came here, one of my sons, Pastor Steve, and I was telling them that I was in La Côte d'Ivoire last week. And you realize that if you look at the continent of our world, Africa is the richest continent in the entire world when it comes to resources. We have more resources than any continent on the face of the earth. And yet, if you look at the struggle and the poverty of Africa, it's something that don't make sense. And I know that people can just get up and say, well, it's a leadership crisis situation and we need visionary leaders and selfless leaders. I believe that. I believe that selfless and leadership, visionary leadership is something that is critical for the progress, prosperity, and advancements of the nations of Africa and of the people of Africa. I believe that. But we've had some great leaders, even in this country and in other nations of Africa. The issue is not just lack of leadership or visionary or selfless leadership. There's a lot of things about the situation of Africa that is very spiritual when you look at it very carefully, because a lot of things just don't make sense. And I've come to the conclusion over the years that whenever you see a situation that must make sense but don't make sense, there is 90% possibility that something is controlling that situation spiritually. There is a mastermind. There is a master spirit. There is a ruling spirit behind the scenes, orchestrating, manipulating individuals, nations, leaders, circumstances, in order to have a particular desired result. So church, hear me out. Things don't just happen. Now we want to look at certain biblical patterns in the Bible and contemporary patterns to see certain patterns. My job today is to just create the awareness. And then, God willing, next week, Sunday, depending on where we get to, we'll be talking about solutions or answers, how to confront, how to deal, and how to override and overturn some of these patterns and begin to see the manifestations of the desired result that God has for you and I. If you agree with me, put your hands together and say amen. Come on, somebody. So, we'll begin our journey in creating the awareness by saying that you need to have an understanding of patterns. Somebody say, understanding patterns. Understanding patterns. Now, there are good patterns and there are evil patterns. We begin with Galatians 3:13.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
So, somebody said to me the other day in Dubai, a Christian, he said, Papa, how come these Islamic countries or nations are really prospering and doing very, very well than Africa? And I said, there are a lot of dynamics to it, but one of the things that you must understand is that they are also walking in the Abrahamic blessing. Because God said to Ishmael, he said, I will bless him also. He said to Abraham, I will bless Ishmael. I will bless him even though he's not Isaac, the promised seed, because he's your seed. He came out of your loins. He also I will bless. And 12 princes will come out of him. So Ishmael was blessed. And so there is no reason why Ishmael shouldn't be blessed, because God said, I will bless him also. And 12 princes will come out of him. So that makes a lot of sense why they are prospering. Now, if you look at you and I, apart from the fact that you and I are the first believers in our family, and so if we serve God right and establish covenant blessings in our bloodline, generations after us can also walk in that covenant blessing. You realize that if you look at a nation like Israel, they've turned the desert into a modern day city because of the blessing of the Lord. For the Bible says, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. If you look at some of our families, since God said, let there be light, nobody in our father's house and in our mother's house have ever served the Lord before. And if you look at our bloodline carefully, they serve other gods, strange gods. None of them serve the living God. So, they were void of the blessing of the Lord. And it is your generation and my generation that has brought about a change. You and I are generational, you know, we are carrying generational blessings and curse breakers, breaking certain curses and covenants of the fact that in our bloodline, our fathers and our grandfathers did not know the Lord and they didn't serve the Lord. And therefore, instead of the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich coming on the family, it was rather curses which have serious implications over individuals, over families, and even over nations. There are certain patterns as we go ahead, you will see that happens in the life of individuals, in the life of families, in the life of nations, and even in the life of churches. I preached in a church many years ago in America. I won't mention the name of the city. And something happened to that pastor. Everyone who was anyone in the body of Christ, all the generals of old that I worked with, all preached in that church. And I used to preach in that church, and something happened, and the pastor lost the church, and he had to sell the building to another pastor. And this pastor was very young, and he had this great following. So I went to preach for him. And I said to him one day, I said, you know, there's a history about this church, and you need to break that pattern. It's a pattern. You need to break it, or and that history may repeat itself again. He didn't take me very serious, and I left him. He was a very good teacher, very intellectual. And most times these guys who are brilliant with the letter of the word can ignore the spirit. And forgetting that The Bible said that holy men spoke as they were moved and inspired by the Spirit. And so I left him alone. Years after, I went to that city preaching for another church, a friend of mine. And whilst preaching, I saw this pastor sitting somewhere at the back. And after the preaching, I told the protocol to ask him to see me. So he came to see me. And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I heard you are in town preaching in this church, so I came to listen, but we need to talk." So I invited him to my hotel, and he came and he said, "You remember what you told me?" I said, "Yes." He said, "The same thing that happened. Same thing that happened to that pastor happened to him. He also lost that church. And he relocated to another church. And the church he inherited, a similar thing had happened, and the bishop of that church died. And he inherited that church. And the same thing that happened to the bishop also happened to him." I won't go into details. Patterns. Somebody say, patterns. Talk to me, say, patterns. So these things do happen. Come with me to 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 19 to verse 21. I just want to create the awareness.
Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Hauz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did.
You see, as his father did. Like father, like son. Same pattern. What his father did wrong, son did the same thing. Go ahead.
And he walked in all the way that his father walked in. And served the idols that his father served and worshipped them.
You see? Same thing his father did. Like father, like son. Ezekiel 16, verse 44 to verse 45. Ezekiel.
Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. As is the mother, so is her daughter.
So, like mother,
so is daughter.
So is the daughter. Are you seeing the pattern? Somebody say patterns.
Patterns.
Come on, talk to me again. Say patterns. Go ahead.
Thou art thy mother's daughter.
You are your mother's daughter because you act like your mother. You have your mother's DNA. You have your mother's genes. You are like your mother. Go ahead.
Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters.
That word means you hate. You and your children and your sisters hate your husband. That there are women that hate their husband and they don't even know why they hate them. I don't want to go into the teachings, but it's an issue. The mother hated the husband. The daughters hated their husbands. The mother's sisters hate their husbands. For whatever reason, it is a problem. It's a pattern. And it's in the bloodline. Go ahead.
And thou art the sister of thy sisters.
You are the sister of your sisters. You act like them. You are just like them. You do the same thing. Same patterns. Go ahead.
Which loatheth their husbands and their children.
Again, hate your husbands.
Your mother was an Hittite. And your father an Amorite.
So we will deal with Hittite and Amorite next week. What it means to be a Hittite and what it means to be an Amorite. Two things. You must understand that. But we want to move quickly because of time. Go, come with me. I want you to see a particular pattern in the Abrahamic family. Abraham was the father of faith. He's all of our father. And he was a friend of God. Look at certain patterns that prevail in the life of the Abrahamic family, and then we want to bring it to today's contemporary families and look at it. Come with me to Genesis 12, 10 to 13.
And there was famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
So look at the pattern here. Abraham lied. The father of faith, the friend of God. It was a pattern. He lied. And then there was something about the Abrahamic family and the men, which was about fair women. And this thing, it traveled from Abraham all the way to Solomon, the 11th generation. Thou art fair altogether, fairest of fair. You look at the sons of Solomon about thou art fair. It began in Genesis 10 with the great-great-grandfather. Patterns, lie, fair women. Genesis 26, 6 to 11.
And Isaac dwelled in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon.
You see, at this time Abraham wasn't around, but that same thing influenced his son, Isaac. He did the same thing the old man did. Somebody say, patterns. Say, influences. Say, programming. Put your hands together quickly. Okay? So let's finish. Abraham lied, went for a fair woman. Isaac lied, went for a fair woman. Go ahead. And remember that Abraham was afraid to die for the sake of Sarah. Isaac was afraid to die because of the wife. So he lied. And the son lied about fair women. Father did, son did, like father, like son. Go ahead.
That'll be Genesis 27:15.
Have we finished?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jacob.
27:15-36. But just go ahead, go to a point, I'll stop it.
And Rebecca took godly counsel of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger brother. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck.
Okay, because of time, the lesson here had to do with when Rebecca got his son Jacob to lie. So you find that lying spirit or pattern traveling from Abraham to Isaac to the third generation. It continues and goes on. All right, come to Genesis 37 from verse 30 to 36.
And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days.
So you realize that this was the fourth generation, the lies continued. The sons of Jacob lied to Jacob. He lied to his father to take his brother's birthright. You see the same pattern. His sons now lie to him that his son Joseph has been murdered or killed. The pattern continues. Alright. Let's look at Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 12:14. Genesis 12:14.
And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair.
Underline that word again. Okay, I want to go back to it. So establish that. Come to Genesis 24:16.
And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her.
So that was the first one was Abraham's wife, Sarah. Second one was Isaac's wife, Rebekah. So you see that fair. That word fair means a lot. It's not just talking about a fair woman, so to say. It has certain meanings. We will go into the meanings. My job today is to create the awareness. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Come to Genesis. Genesis chapter 11, verse 29 to 30. Genesis 11, 29.
And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughters of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Ishka. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child.
So underline the word, Abraham's wife was barren. Underline that. Save that. Barren. That is a pattern. Come Genesis 25, 20 to 26. My job is to create the awareness, and then we will tackle the issues as we diagnose the problem. Genesis 25. 20 to 26.
And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord.
So Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren for 25 years. Then Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was barren for 20 years. Somebody say, patterns. Come on, talk to me. Say, patterns.
Patterns.
Let's look at certain contemporary situation here. I'm going to have Bishop to read something. Put it on the screen. You can use your phone to take pictures of it. And as you go home, you can go online and study it for yourself. These are contemporary patterns of certain situations in the life of families and individuals. Go ahead.
Max Juice, an atheist, married a godless wife.
Again, go back to it.
Max Juice, an atheist, married a godless wife.
Okay, yeah.
They had 560 descendants.
Mm-hmm.
310 died paupers. 150 were criminals. 100 were alcoholics. 7 murderers. More than half the women were prostitutes. Descendants of MacDukes cost the United States government more than $1.2 million in the 19th century.
Keep that in mind. Use your picture. Take picture of it. You see, there are patterns that doesn't make sense in life. I have seen a lot of patterns in my own life and family. And I prayed over some things. And recently, the Spirit of God began to help me to understand some patterns. And it's very, very important. I was telling one of my spiritual sons that before you marry a woman, it doesn't matter how beautiful she is and how gorgeous, smart, intelligent, and it doesn't matter how she looks like, you have to study the family tree of that person. You must check the family she comes from. You must check the background. You must know the patterns that happened to women and children that comes from women of that house, because there are certain patterns that will affect your children depending on the house you marry into. If you don't check those things, and you can pray, but if you don't have revelation to know exactly what to deal with, those patterns will continue to happen, because in every family there are specific patterns. And if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you are a spiritual Christian and not a leper Christian, you see what happens to men or women from a particular family and what happens to children born of women of that bloodline or men of that bloodline. Even though you might be born again. Go ahead.
The JFK Kennedy family curse.
Mm-hmm.
August 12, 1944. Joseph Kennedy Jr.
No, have we finished with that of... we finished with Mark.
Yes, sir.
We need to look at... Okay, let's finish the Kennedys and then we'll come to...
August 12, 1944.
Uh-huh.
Joseph Kennedy Jr., the elder brother of JFK, was killed when his bomber aircraft exploded over Suffolk during the Second World War. In May 13, 1948, Kathleen Cavendish, JFK's sister and wife of Marquis of Haddington, died in a plane crash in France. November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated as he rode in his open convertible through Dallas, Texas. In June 6, 1968, Robert Kennedy, JFK's younger brother, and his attorney general was assassinated in California. April 25, 1984, David Kennedy, the fourth of RFK's 11 children, died in a Florida hotel room after overdosing on cocaine. In December 31, 1997, Michael Kennedy, the sixth of RFK's, died when skiing in Colorado. June 16, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., JFK's son, died while flying his light aircraft for a holiday in the Isle of Martha. May 16, 2012, Mary Kennedy, the wife of R. Kennedy Jr., was found dead in her house by hanging herself in her New York house.
Mark chapter 12, from verse 20 to 22.
Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also.
2 Samuel 21 and verse 1.
Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.
Stand on your feet.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.